It's time for another episode of The Scoop. Get ready to talk Temple Athletics with John DiCarlo, Kyle Gauss, Matt Vender, and Dalton Balthaser.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 27 of The Scoop. I'm Dalton Balthaser, joined by my occasional Thursday All-Americans, Matt Vender, Kyle Gauss, and John DiCarlo. How's it going?
You're like an old MEAC. You're not an All-American.
right away with the slight.
There's no chance.
I can't even be like a... Just an honorable mention.
How about an FCS All-American?
Yeah, you'll
be like Jones.
You'll be an FCS All-American. You'll graduate early. You'll be like, oh, it's a hot commodity, and then you'll just underwhelm as like a as a graduate transfer. Like, oh, John DiCarlo's coming in from Illinois Peoria State or whatever the hell. And you're gonna transfer to play for like Nebraska, and then you'll just be. Nah.
Give me like Eastern Washington.
No chance.
They have the red field. That would be cool.
Yeah, but Eastern Washington just produces athletic quarterbacks.
You're already making me FCS. You're going to give me FCS All-American, and then you just want to. I can't.
If you're Eastern Washington,
like the top.
You're going to end up at Oregon. We need you to be.
I'm assuming you guys. What, you guys are all FBS guys?
You're going to be like okay, a. You're playing for Keeler. You're at Sam Houston State. You're out there. Everything goes great.
How's the food down there?
I'll be good. It's probably good Tex-Mex. Not good for you though. We need you need to be in like. Idaho. You need just like a potato-based diet.
Or like an LA
Idaho's
going
to be an FCS program in about 2 years. By the time they come back to Temple, they'll be in the FCS. They're dropping down.
That won't affect me, though.
I bet you they don't come to Temple. Looking forward. I bet you that contract gets null and void. I don't think Temple won their FCS team that
year. You guys can be FBS All-Americans. I have to be FCS, and you won't even allow me to be at one of the better FCS schools in this scenario.
You're lucky I let you be at FCS.
I'd say I'm more of an All-American in consuming McDonald's food. I think that's all. I think that would be the best option.
When's the last time I had McDonald's?
Oof.
Been a minute. I feel like I actually had breakfast at McDonald's like 6 months ago.
I think the last time I had McDonald's, I think Chelsea and I were on our way up to Martha's Vineyard, and we stopped somewhere like along.
Those are like opposite things. Going to Martha's Vineyard, eating McDonald's.
Oh, so we were on the Jersey Turnpike or the Connecticut Turnpike or something like that.
No, you stop at like the Larry Curly and Moe rest stop, and you go in there, and you get some
beautiful rest stops.
Yeah, they got some great. Anyway, that's from Jersey.
Chick-fil-A's been my go-to. I'm starting to really enjoy that. And it's going to be coming here, so that'll be good.
I passed two Taco Bells on the way home now. It's a struggle every day to keep driving.
Where are you going to get Chick-fil-A?
You love Taco Bell.
Well, Taco Bell. At home. When I was home a couple weeks ago, I knew that. It's good stuff. I get the spicy with the pepper jack cheese.
Season 2, really episode good. 27, sponsored
by Taco. Do you get the nuggets, side nuggets with the honey mustard?
No side of nuggets. I just usually get two spicy sandwiches.
Yeah.
Which
can come with the waffle fries?
Yeah, if you get the meal, yeah. But it hurts later, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Totally hurts later.
Anyway.
A lot of good stuff coming up on The Scoop. We're going to talk about the defensive line and defensive line coach Jim Panago.
Sorry, real quick.
John is distracted.
This is the first time I've done the podcast since I ate the world's hottest
pepper.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
the worst part by far was what Dalton just referenced.
Wait, it hurts later.
Are you talking about the Carolina Reaper?
Yeah, were you not here last week? You were here last week.
No, I was here, but I had the Carolina Reaper last night.
Really?
What?
Just a very small piece.
Oh, I ate an entire one.
Really?
Wow. Was it brutal, just a small piece?
Just a small piece with some seeds. Yeah, it was really bad. Really, really bad.
Was it the dry or the fresh one?
Dry.
Yeah, I ate the dried one, too.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
My mouth was, and it really doesn't kick in until, like, a few minutes later.
I'll tell you, my mouth was burning for, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the worst part, have you moved your bowels since then?
Yeah, I have. Actually.
That was the worst part for me by far. But I think half of that was...
I didn't eat a full pepper.
Yes,
so.
I have, actually.
Half of that was because I drank...
very proper... Yes, I have. I'll give you an approximate time, if you'd like.
I drank a quart of milk as part of this to, like, numb, like, the pain. And that,
so
I think, just,
hot.
Like, ooh. Ooh, I went to the bathroom, like, six times in the span of, like, 24 hours.
So you were hoping that the milk was gonna.
The
like
milk did help. It helped in the mouth. It hurt, I think, with the fact that my body is not used to a quart
that
of milk.
That much lactose. Yeah.
Yes. I'd do it again. I want to do it with a fresh one now.
Oh.
It was actually the quote unquote bad part of it is like when you first eat it, it's actually kind of like a tasty pepper. Like it's kind of sweet. Like it's a good pepper, and then it's like bam. But yeah.
How did you end up eating it, Matt?
Punishment.
How did I end up eating it? I can't really say.
There we go.
But anyway,
we're undisclosed. undisclosed stuff.
But anyway, on The Scoop, a lot of good stuff coming up. We're going to talk about the defensive line, Jim Panagos, and we're going to talk about wide receivers coach Stan Hixon and arguably one of the best positions on the Temple football squad this year. The receivers, they bring back all of them from last year, so we'll get into that. And then, as always, the sometimes serious and sometimes silly mailbag. So stay tuned for that. But first, Matt, you were at spring practice today where the defensive line showed themselves in Jim Pinega, so they talked to the media. What were your impressions of the defensive line today and what they had to say?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing, just going off of a few practice observations that I had, we got to see about the last 20 minutes of practice as usual today. You know, it was the same format most of the time, although they did break down and they did some goal line stuff, which was interesting. We hadn't really seen that before. So they broke down and they just had 22 guys on the field. It was 11 on 11. And it looked like the offense was really struggling. They were put at the 1 yard line, going the opposite way. So they were back in the end zone. Yeah, and
that type of goal line.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. And Karamo Diabate had one play where he just completely blew things up down the middle. And I think it was David Hood was the running back at the time, and just blew up David Hood and came up with a safety. So yeah, the defense was really blowing things up back there. The offense was struggling to even get out of the end zone. So that was an interesting drill we got to see. Other than that, we didn't get a whole lot else of note. We did get to see Anthony Russo a little bit with the first teamers, which seems to be, you know, continuing trend. I mean, I think they're working in pretty much all of the quarterbacks with the first teamers at times. But we did get a little bit of a sample size of him. We got to see Linwood Crump make a really, really nice play on the ball. I thought he went step for step with Ventel Bryant, and then went into the end zone, kind of forced Ventel to go almost out of bounds, and went up and broke up the pass. I was really impressed with that play that he made during practice. Another thing, Anthony Russo did throw a pick, but the pick was by Sam Franklin, and Sam Franklin was on the ground. The ball goes off his right foot and right into his hands. It was like a play like Julian Edelman made in the Super Bowl almost. It was pretty ridiculous. I wish I had it on video, but nobody caught it on video to my knowledge. But that was a really, really good play by Sam Franklin, who seems to be, you know, running with the first teamers at linebacker and seems to be having a really impressive spring so far for a guy that came in out of prep school. Unheralded recruit, and
that was one of the guys we literally didn't know was coming until they got like the NLI.
Yeah, we knew that he took an official visit, but right. It was kind of unclear where Temple stood with him, whether or not they were going
to
take him.
He was like committed to UMass.
Yeah, he was committed to UMass. I think he signed with UMass
out of
high school.
Was he East Coast prep?
Yeah, which didn't play this year. Huh. Him and Delvon and Bosey and Starzik are East Coast prep kids.
Yeah, so I mean, he seems to be a guy that should, you know, be in the mix to start at one of the linebacker spots. So yeah, as far as that goes, I think, you know, that's about all that I have from the observations point of standpoint. You know, and Jim Pinegos did talk to us for a couple minutes. You know, and I think the biggest thing we took away from him was the similar thing that we took from Jeff Collins on Saturday, and that's they don't have a depth chart. They're not really focused on the depth chart. You know,
when they talk to the media.
Yeah, at least when they talk to the media, they don't seem to be too focused on that. So, you know, it's hard for us to really get a gauge of where guys stand. But, I think also we got a chance to talk with Sharif Finch and Jacob Martin, two guys who, you know, have dealt with some injuries. Sharif Finch missed the final 10 games of last season with the chronic knee issues. You know, he's been dealing with that for, you know, a few years now. He said he feels great. But, I mean, right now they're limiting him. They're trying to get some younger guys some reps, you know, some younger pass rushers like Dana Levine and Quincy Roche and some other guys. But, you know, he's been limited, and Jacob Martin's also been limited. Jacob Martin broke his foot in warm-ups of the American Athletic Conference Championship game, ended up playing in the game, and then later had to have surgery, missed the bowl game. And now he's not 100%, but he said he's getting close, and they have him a little bit limited right now. So, those are kind of the main takeaways from today.
So, Jim Pinegos talked with the media about his edge rushers. You know, you have to replace a Praise Martin Aguike, you have to replace a Hassan Reddick. And he's been talking about, he talked with the media on Thursday about who's really showed up at practice, and we have that audio here for you. So here's Jim Pinegos talking about edge rushers who have really stood out at practice so far in the spring.
I tell you what, I'm happy all the defensive ends. Tell you what, Dana Levine, Quincy Rochelle is doing well. Everyone's doing well. Honestly, I'm not worried about depth chart. I'm just worried about getting better every day. After 15 days of spring practice, I'll reevaluate that and see where we're at after that 15 days. But I'm not really concerned who's playing well. I'm concerned about winning each rep every day. That's what I'm really concerned about right now.
So there's defensive line coach Jim Pinegos talking about edge rushers who are really showing up in spring practice, especially you lose guys like Hassan Reddick and Praise Martin Aguike. And Jim Pinegos had a special guest at the Edberg Olsen football facility, Brock Lesnar, WWE star and former Vikings defensive line tryout. Is that correct, Kyle?
Yeah, I think he made the team in the sense that they like hired him for a roster spot. I think he was just like an offseason only guy. It was like 2003-04 when Jim Penagos was also the defensive line coach of the Vikings. But I mean, Brock Lesnar was like the type of guy. I think he was an NCAA Division I champion in wrestling. So then he goes on to become a professional wrestler, and I guess they say, this guy is athletic. He's 270 pounds. Let's just add him to the defensive tackle. And the photo of, like, Collins, Penagos, and Lesnar. Lesnar's wearing, like, the most ridiculous, like, cowboy hat in the world. And I'm like, you're in the middle of North Philly. Just, like, like looked jacked out of his mind wearing a cowboy hat. But, yeah, that was pretty cool. It came out of nowhere.
We'll get Andrew Goldstein on next week. Talk some wrestling.
He has his own podcast. Sorry I've been so busy. He gets a little bit bigger people on that podcast than us.
Janine Garofalo was on there. He's picking up.
Yeah.
Picking up. He called us the sister podcast.
Sister podcast.
Yes. Give us a shout out.
I am on Brock Lesnar's Wikipedia page now. He is apparently married to another wrestler named Sable. I didn't know that.
Is she on that reality show with John Cena's girlfriend and the other twin? I'm scrounging.
Divas?
I don't believe she is. She has been retired from wrestling for quite some time, and she was in Corky Romano with Rob Schneider. No, not Rob Schneider. Chris Kattan was in Corky Romano.
Close. Same.
Yes. It might as well be the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Lesnar wanted someone to find him in North Philly with that cowboy hat and wanted someone to cover him.
Nobody's running up on Brock Lesnar. He's huge. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And I thought, kind of going back to Jim Benegos' original comments about Dan Levine, Quincy Roche. Quincy Roche was a later-ish addition to the class that some of the people kind of maybe took a little...
I thought Roche committed late summer, I thought.
I don't think so.
He was in for a camp. He was definitely in for a camp. Yeah, I feel like he committed, like...
Did he get an offer during the camp?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Regardless...
Kyle's wrong.
That doesn't happen very often. Well, he took his official... November 12th.
Really?
No, he committed in August once he got the camp. November 12th. And he was a guy who played very low-level football in Maryland. People took some offense to him. Maybe this guy's a bit of a reach because he only really had other FCS offers at the time. Seems like the type of guy that's really going to bring a lot of speed to the side. Dan Levine was the opposite in the sense that he was committed to Syracuse, ends up flipping the Temple.
USF wanted him too, right?
USF wanted him as well. It's kind of bizarre to me. We're talking about Jacob Martin being a senior and Dan Levine being a redshirt sophomore, and I remember their recruitments like it was like 2 weeks ago. And that's upsetting to me as I get older and my waistline gets larger.
How old are you now?
I turned 28 in May.
Yeah, you're not old.
Old in spirit. You know how they say, like, oh, I'm young in spirit. I'm old in spirit. I get out of bed, I'm like, oh, God. Just get angry driving.
A lot of mileage on those
angry
tires.
Still feeling the effects of that pepper that you ate last night.
No, I'm okay from that, actually. Though, like...
David Hood gave Matt the pepper. Right off the field. Yeah.
There are things that, like, I'll go to, like, the gym for the first time in, like, 2 months, and I feel like, and you're supposed to be sore for, like, 2 days or whatever. I'm sore for, like, a week and a half. I'm like, oh, God.
I did back and buys the other day. Still recovering from that, bro. What was that? Last Tuesday?
I think it was Tuesday.
You got any recovery tips, protein powders, creatine, anybody?
Oh, I would juice. I would just go straight steroids. Like, Kyle, you're not trying to compete in anything. Yeah, but look how big I am.
Walks into GNC. Give me the illegal stuff. What's in the back? Just the bathroom, sir.
Like, you know, some of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Are you trying to buy weed from me? No. Just steroids.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
On another note, the wide receivers coach for Temple, Stan Hickson, is a new addition to the staff of late. And with all the receivers coming back, it seems like the receiving core is going to be one of the strong points on the offensive side and even the defensive side as well, maybe behind the safeties of Delvon Randall and Sean Chandler, who are returning. But what are your impressions of Stan Hickson, and what are your impressions of, you know, the type of guys he's coached, like a DeAndre Hopkins or an Andre Johnson, and what he can kind of contribute to the receiving core that has Ventel Bryant, that has some talent, Adonis Jennings has some ability as well?
I mean, I think Keith Gaither was here for what? Two months.
He came in like middle of January. Yeah, month and a half. 6 weeks.
It's just kind of funny because he comes in from Army, and the casual fan is like, oh, what does he know about receivers? But he coached some decent players before. But, I mean, Hickson, at this, not only just at this juncture, but just at any time, if you're Jeff Collins and you're saying, like, I have who I think are the three best receivers in the conference and a couple of better receivers, not saying they're all first rounders, but like guys that could potentially play in the pros. I'm going to bring in a guy, a veteran guy. I mean, you couldn't have done much better. So, I mean, they kind of, you know, if you know, Gaither leaves and, you know, they connect their way over to him, I mean, it's a great hire. It's a really great hire, because I think we had talked before about, I mean, anybody could say it, like, okay, you have great receivers, you want to get somebody who can really coach them up, really work on technique and all that stuff. So it's a fantastic hire for him at this point. You can't get, you know, not too many more guys at this point that have more experience.
Yeah, and Jeff Collins knows him from when Jeff Collins was the GA at Georgia Tech, and Hickson was coaching. That would have been before Calvin Johnson, though, but also before they ran the triple option. But some of the receivers Hickson's coached, Andre Hopkins, Andre Johnson, Stevie Johnson with the Bills, Santana Moss, Antoine Randall, Allen Robinson at Penn State, and then down at LSU, he coached Josh Reed, who was like dominant when Saban was there and they won the national championship. Matt, I think you actually mentioned this in our group text message. Collins kind of needed his George De Leon, right? Like, Rule had it, Golden had him. It's kind of helpful that for a relatively younger staff, now they add a guy with a lot of experiences.
Yeah, I like the fact that they have that older guy on the staff, because if you look around, I mean, there's Ed Foley's, what, 50?
49 or 48, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have some seasoned guys, but not some guys that are, you know, with the experience that Stan Hickson has. So I think it's a really good hire. I think, you know, when you have the talent that they do at receiver, you want a guy that has that experience. You know, I think a lot of – I don't think any of us could coach these receivers up, but I think, I mean – you know, I think with the talent they have.
I think Dalton is a big technique guy.
Bendell Bryce is like, Coach, what about the route tree? What? Like a route bush.
That's something I can pick up at Lowe's.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I feel like it might rip up the turf, but I'll plant a route tree.
But from the recruiting side of things, I think you hope that, you know, recruits – regardless of how long Hickson is here for, I don't know how long term it's going to be, but I think the hope would be that with recruits that you just, you know, recruits say, hey, this is a guy that, you know, has coached so many NFL players, has coached so many good receivers, whether it's in college or the pros, and I think the hope would be that, you know, they look at that and want to play with a guy like that. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how it works from a recruiting standpoint, you know, after you lose Friz Jackson, who was a really good recruiter in his own right. Actually, Friz Jackson was at practice today, and I saw Friz and Stan Hickson were talking a little bit after practice, which is probably a good thing to have Friz Jackson around. I mean, he coached Bentel Bryan, he coached Adonis and all those guys last year, so to have Friz Jackson still around, you know, to just maybe give some pointers on, you know, what makes these guys tick or whatever, you know, that's a good thing to have.
Let's talk about that for a second, though. So you've got, I mean, Ventel, Keith Kirkwood, and Adonis Jennings are pretty much entrenched as like your three top receivers. You add Isaiah Wright to that, and again, we'll see what they do with him. They could line him up in the backfield. They could line him up all over the place. So that really creates, I don't want to say sense of urgency, but even more competition and more of a desire to grab as many reps for guys like, you know, you think of like, well, obviously there's Broderick Yancey, but then like, where does that leave? And again, they're young. But Randall Jones, Freddie Johnson, and those guys, like the speed demons that were supposed to be coming in, I'll be interested to see, you know, what happens with those guys. If they spread out the ball as much as they're going to, as much as they say they're going to, it'll still be spread among three receivers, but it kind of makes things even tougher for those guys. Not to say that they can't contribute, you know, in 2018, but now that position is really deep and creates a lot of competition in the room, combined with the fact that you have a veteran, really, again, really experienced veteran assistant coach. I mean, they're probably in as good a position as they can be in right there with him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you said, John, if I would be the wide receivers coach, I think it wouldn't be a tree. It would be more of like a pentagon. It had like five routes. That's all they would run. It would be a mesh or like a crossing route. Yeah. It would be a zig route, in and out. And it'd be like a Texas-type pattern where it's like an angle route from the running back and a streak from the tight end. I'd run that all day long, verticals here and there. That'd be about it. Maybe a slant here and there.
Play action, all go. Are we watching film right now?
Play action, all go. Just five linemen, the quarterback back. I got five dudes just...
Five sticks.
I would just say Russo, Marchi, Newtow, whoever the quarterback is. Just throw the ball up, get it to Ventel, throw it over the 5'10 corner, and let's go.
I'm saying, Ventel's a big guy. He's got the speed. See you in the end zone.
You do the PA all go with the tight end block and then just slide. Just
slides out. They got him. He has a check down.
We're on the Delaware wing team. My wide receiver is going to be very frustrated.
I think I said this before. Anthony Russo couldn't run the Kyle Gass offense. I need a Logan Marchi because inevitably there's going to be pressure and I need him to buy time with his feet.
and just heave it off and sidearm heave.
Inevitably, there's going to be pressure. Why?
Because I'm really good at recruiting every offensive blocking guy. Everybody that can be downfield is downfield.
Like, we get flagged on every play. Eligible receiver downfield. Pick one. Kyle's just consistently throwing his headset down.
15 yards pass.
Complains about the receiver. Complains about the officials.
Quarterback checks
game.
It and he's scrambling. He's well past the line of scrimmage. You see me on the side like, chuck it. Coach, it's against rule. Oh,
yeah. As you have your tight end running a wheel route out of bounds and then just making his way all around the field.
You're describing like an independent film version of The Replacements.
Yes.
But you don't get Keanu Reeves. You get like...
Winners want the ball when it counts.
You get like...
You know, they have a deaf tight end in that. What if I have, like, a deaf quarterback? I'm just trying to relay the messages to him. He's not blind, Dalton. He'll be able to read my lips. Anyway.
I was trying to come up with, like, a B-level actor below Keanu Reeves, and I just...
Keanu Reeves makes a lot of money.
Oh, I'm not...
My mom's in that movie. My mom and dad are extras in that movie.
What?
They filmed it in Baltimore. They filmed it in Baltimore.
How
and they
have I
had,
known you? And I'm just finding
I've
this out
I've told you
now?
Many times.
No, you
and
haven't.
They came down for crowd scenes. My mom has an... I'm kidding. My mom has an autograph.
This also sounds like
autographed Shane
Falco
jersey that she won in a raffle there.
This all sounds like a lie.
Swear to God. They went down to Baltimore, spent a day there. They would move them around in different parts of the field to crowd shots. You can't really see them, but they were there.
I guess I believe you, but you are a recreational liar.
When have I ever lied to you?
Today.
When did I lie to you today?
Trying to get...
John asked me for a mutual friend of ours' new phone number. I just gave him my work phone number.
And start texting me. Kyle as if he's Ashley, our mutual friend, who now is a different job, work-related stuff. And then Kyle just eventually sends me a picture of himself with a post-it note with a mean message. So the answer to that question is today. Like, less than 2 hours ago,
so
you lied
to then
me.
I sent him the screen, the selfie of me with the mean message, and he still thought it was her. He's like, ah, did Kyle ask you to send that photo? Like, are you kidding me?
You're like, no, it was me. I was like, that was plausible. I can see it. It's a big Kyle. We haven't done it in a while. We're a big recreational liar on road trips. We passed by something. It was a battle of something. Like, oh, many lives were lost there. We usually get
in the sense
Jen Reardon.
When you say that we haven't done this in a while, it means you're referencing a 2009 story.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
You telling me Kyle was lying on our road trips to Penn State and UConn?
I would never lie to Matt.
No.
You though.
Steeped.
You
tradition.
Bring out the worst in me. Anyway,
your parents were extras in that.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. My mom has a framed autograph Shane Falco jersey that she won in a raffle.
Display at your wedding.
I think I'm not even kidding. I think that there's actually an article written about like my dad's company at the time. There was like a quote in him about it.
Todd Zielecki was an extra in Major League.
Really?
Yeah, because it was filmed in Milwaukee. It wasn't filmed in Cleveland. So there's a scene where like the team's bus pulls in, and you see this like younger kid holding up a Indian sign. And he still has the sign from the movie. So, I have never... he's not dreamy to me, said Keith Gauss, the winner of a Reeves football.
My it was wife a football, will it was keep autographed it. Jersey.
My wife will keep it out of Gauss 37 of Exton, PA.
That was 1999, so it was a long time ago, but that happened. It was not. It was just an article called Woe Is Not Me, Defending Keanu Deciphering Reeves. It was a Keanu Reeves website, apparently.
My parents were never extras in a movie, but my dad did, however, call at 97.5 after I appeared on the station and embarrassed the hell out of me. So that's his gift.
Gift to the world.
That was terrible.
Let's
get back on track.
Oh, briefly, my television, 15 seconds, was last year when I was at the U.S. Open in Pittsburgh at Oakmont. Fox zoomed right into my face.
You showed us
that's
that,
also
right?
Not true. Yeah. You're also famous from when you're on the front page of NASCAR magazine.
Oh, yes.
Little Dalton.
Little Dalton in a car.
Well, that was my first claim to fame on TV. That was a magazine. magazine. First claim to fame as a 3-year-old in a magazine. But
old racing prodigy.
Yeah, I still have a NASCAR banner around on my wall, but I haven't watched NASCAR ever, so... Grandparents and parents love it, though.
They were pushing it. All right.
So it's time for our sometimes serious and sometimes silly mailbag. We appreciate the questions on the message boards and on Twitter. First question comes from HBG Al. From what you and your staff have seen of Collins' practices and from what you are hearing from players who played under Rule and Company, how do Jeff Collins' practices stack up? How are Collins' practices similar and how are they different from Rule's practices? And what are the upperclassmen saying about Collins and his staff's practices?
Well, Matt, you got a quote in your story today, right? From
Sharif Finch.
Sharif Finch saying that they're actually even more up-tempo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, they're more up-tempo. And I'd say the main thing that's different is just the amount of reps that everybody gets. I mean, you have 11-on-11 on one side of the field and 11-on-11 on the other side. And then sometimes during certain portions of practice, they have 66 or 88 guys on the field at a time. So, you know, I would just say more guys are getting more reps. And it's a hectic practice. I mean, you have guys,
would you
coaches.
Use the word?
Well, I guess that's what they like to use, right?
Kyle is about to throw a paperweight at me. And now he's laughing. Come on, laugh at Johnny's joke. You know he loved it.
I mean, everything that I've seen and heard from recruits is positive, too. I mean, Donovan Reiser from Jersey, the linebacker, tweeted, had a great time at my visit to Temple today. The intensity was through the roof. Other people have tweeted that it's lit. I'm not even saying that sarcastically. That's actually been tweeted. I feel like the intensity is still there. Intensity is still there. A little more high tempo. And yeah, Sharif French also said, he's like, we don't really need to worry about conditioning, right? We're getting that in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just running from one station to the other, like it's helping with their conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Next question from HBG Al. Also, I was impressed with Temple's strength and conditioning program under the Rule regime. Any word on the strength and conditioning program under Collins? More or less intense? Philosophy differences? Thanks. The five alarm maybe different.
When I was banging out my 30th rep of 225 with the crew the other day, noticed that it's still good. In the short time they've been here, I feel like several players have referenced the staff and said, "Hey, they're doing a good job, right. Had a good off season." So
yeah, David Feely and Ryan Horton feel like it seems like they have a good, they were good gets as a strength and conditioning coach. I think Football Scoop actually, when David Feely was named, said like, "Hey, heard like a lot of good things about this guy," but then they also offered the caveat of, that being said, every strength and conditioning coach is always considered like a good get. Like it's always this up and coming strength and coach guy. There's a lot of.
Yeah.
And then they added, one of the Boyles is still here, right?
Yeah, I believe Pat Boyles now on the staff.
Pat Boyle, who recently had his picture taken with Mel Kiper, saw that on Twitter.
I saw
that. Tweeted it,
You know where else I see Pat Boyle a lot? On the wall of McGillin's.
Really?
There's like a photo of like Evan Regas, I think Pat Boyle and Chris Coyer on the wall of McGillin's. The bar.
Yeah, Pat's an operations assistant, but yeah.
Oh.
They're like super, super nice family too. Like really, really nice people.
I thought you were gonna say it's because of like some kind of drinking
competition. No, it's
or
just
something.
Them. Like they got their protein. It's like them. It's like Bam Margera.
Bam Margera, who appeared on Daily Street once.
Did he?
With Crazy Mike down the street, the guy used to record musicians. Chelsea called me once. Like Bam Margera just walked down our street. Why would that be?
Chelsea was probably like teensy as bit excited. You were probably just like upset that like somebody had come onto your street. Like, why is he here? This is a quiet neighborhood.
No.
Trying to get
you'd
the riff raff
like
out of
you sound like I'm
85 here.
Years old pushing a lawnmower with lemonade. No. I was excited. It's my generation. Sort
you
of.
You think Bam Margera is your generation?
Sort of.
No. Not a chance. No.
So, I mean, closer, right? You guys
think
Bam
compared
Margera's?
To what? Like, the fall of the Roman Empire? Like, yeah, like, it's still... It's like my generation.
Not that much bigger.
I'm the gap in between here. I'm the bridge between you and them. Kyle, young, not old. You.
Should you be wearing a loincloth saying all this? I am the gap. I feel like you're
getting oh boy.
It's the second time you've reached for the paperweight. Go ahead, Dalton. I'm sorry.
Next question comes from Real Getsky on Twitter. Any members of the 2020 class catching the eye of you guys or Coach Collins?
I'm not legally allowed to say that anybody in the class of 2020 is catching my eye. I believe that's frowned upon as
he's
these people are like 14, 15-year-olds.
He's talking about high school freshmen.
So,
I don't know.
No, I'd be lying if I said anybody from class 2020 has gotten my radar yet.
Yeah, I can't say that I have a bunch of 2020 recruits. To
Lynn Greer's
of
a 2019 kid in basketball.
Yeah.
So 2019, Lynn Greer is...
He's talking about...
Yeah, I'm saying, but I'm just...
Wait, no. I think he is 2020.
That will be my reference point. Is it takes a recruit like that, like a legacy... This name, this name for them, for that far in advance for them to hit my radar.
Yeah.
That, or you have to be somebody like Cam Reddish, who when Sean Alston was a senior, I was like, holy crap, that kid's going to be good. That kid's on my radar. Nobody else like that shows up on my radar.
Yeah. I mean, you the NCAA does not encourage kids to be recruited as freshmen. Usually they wait. Usually they like schools to wait until, you know, the summer going into their sophomore year to offer a scholarship.
Next question comes from Mike TB31 on the message boards. If you had to choose between only covering Temple basketball or football for the rest of your career, which would you choose?
Good question. Mm-hmm. I want to keep multiple factors in this. Outside of the actual program, keep the actual logistics in mind. Basketball, you're recruiting, you're covering from November through hopefully April, but most of the time March. It's more games. The timing's bad in the sense that, like, yeah, Thanksgiving in there, Christmas in there, New Year's in there, is other stuff. I'm gonna say football just because I like the calendar of it. I like that it ends when summer or starts when summer ends. And you get to segue in, and there's nothing better than when like college football's going on and the NFL's going on, and then like NBA starts sprinkling in World Series. I'm gonna say football.
Yeah, I'll say football. Although, I mean, basketball has always been my favorite sport growing up and everything. But yeah, I'll say football.
There's no Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night games.
No more action.
There's no more action.
There's no like 9 o'clock tip against Cincinnati for football, really.
Yeah, and the food's better. Covering football, the food's significantly better.
No, that is a factor. Yeah, the food at the basketball games, you get, if it's a lunch game, you get bagels. If it's nighttime, you get pizza.
John will openly complain about the basketball food, and you'll go back for like second and third for the football food. So that's the difference.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say football because of the timing. Being at the link is pretty cool up in the press box, and the food is definitely a lot better.
I'll say that there's covering an NCAA tournament game is really cool, and covering conference tournament games. I truly miss covering the A-10 tournament.
A-10 tournament was great. Boardwalk Hall was awesome.
Absolutely loved the venue. I looked forward to that every year. I even liked going up to Hartford. It wasn't bad, you know.
Right.
I don't mind that. I don't mind. I mean, it's not a short drive, but I don't mind conference tournament coverage. NCAA tournament coverage is really cool and really special. But yeah, football. It's just once a week. It's just more of an event. It's the camaraderie's cool.
I'll give you that.
Hang out before the game. Catch up.
I'll give you that though. When I think back on like memories, I guess, of covering Temple Athletics, it's usually basketball are the ones that stick out because you do have those tournaments where when they were winning those A-10 tournaments, they were playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're getting three basketball games in the span of like 60 hours that ends in them hoisting a trophy. So those memories are cool, but I think just the logistics, the selfishness, I will say football.
Next question from Mike TB31. Recent Inquirer article says Obi was contemplating turning pro. Seeing as how he's not a surefire first rounder, does that say something about his lack of confidence in Temple having a deep tournament team for next season? I think we should mention here that Obi is entering the draft without an agent, which means he can go and participate in the combine, and then he'll get feedback from scouts and owners and whatever about what he needs to work on, and then he kind of makes his decision from there. He's not leaving Temple.
This is a no-lose situation for Obi. I don't think it's any type of slight against Temple's prospects for next year or anything like that. I think Obi's going to go out. He's going to participate in combines. He's going to have some workouts. He's going to have some interviews. He'll get feedback, and they'll say, hey, you'll really benefit from coming back for your senior year, and he'll come back for his senior year. LaVoy Allen did it. Ramon Moore did it. Ramon Moore did it before Ramon Moore could shoot more than 12 feet away from the basket. Mm-hmm. Ramon Moore really grew as a player his time at Temple, and he still entered the draft after his junior year. It's a no-lose situation. There's going to be 70 people like Obi across the country this year that do that.
B.J. Johnson's
doing it. If B.J. Johnson stays in this draft, B.J. Johnson needs to sue whoever's giving him advice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if Obi stays in this draft, it's probably the same situation. He really needs to come back for his senior year. Really needs to show that he can actually post people up. He really needs to show that he's the guy that he was for the first 7 games of the year instead of the last 25. Right. So, yeah, it's a no harm. It's a no-lose situation. I would be shocked if Obi is not wearing 0 for Temple next year.
Yeah, everybody I've talked to about this says, well, why wouldn't Obi do this? I mean, why? You know, it's a no-lose situation, as you said. I mean, there's no downside to this other than the fact that, I mean, he might have to, you know, leave school a little bit here and there to go work out for teams or whatever. But there's really no downside to it. You know, I would put money on the idea that he's going to come back and end up coming back. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity for Obi to hear from NBA GMs, NBA scouts, and different types of people to see, you know, what he can do and what he projects to be. But, I mean, after the first month of the season, you know, we had thought that maybe he'd be a candidate to leave. But, you know, after the first month, the way he played, in conference play and everything like that, I mean, I don't think he's in a position to be drafted right now. You know, maybe he goes and just wows teams in workouts or something. Right. But, you know, I'd say it's really unlikely that he ends up actually declaring for the draft and hiring an agent.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing that the NBA does now, because what happens is years past, you would declare, if you didn't get drafted or whatever, you'd just go based on your inkling. Now these guys can go, like even Justin Jackson for UNC last year, right. He was there as well. Now he's in the Final Four with UNC as the favorite to win the national championship. You can go show your talent. If they don't, you know, you get some good feedback, and then you can kind of base where you go. And I think that's valuable, especially if you're not sure if you're going to get drafted. And there were some, I believe one of the mock drafts I saw in the second round, guys like Josh Hart, guys like Jordan Bell, guys like Dylan Brooks from Oregon, those last two guys that I said would be drafted in that second round. Those are high-class guys.
Did Chris Jenkins do this last year? After he hit the shot, I feel like he did.
I think he and Hart both
did. Yeah, Hart did as well.
So that's actually kind of the opposite, the other side to this. If Obi's stock was as high as Chris Jenkins' was last year hitting that shot, Chris Jenkins probably should have left last year. Chris Jenkins probably won't get drafted this year. Mm-hmm. He might have been a late first-round, second-round pick if he had gone this year. Obi doesn't have that momentum behind him. He actually has the opposite of his season went on a negative path. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't know. I understand fandom, but some of the pushback and
honestly,
it's a little ridiculous.
From a program perspective, it's a good thing.
Your name in the news. Obi Adichie declared for the draft.
There's been three articles written about Temple basketball in the Inquirer in the last 3 days after nothing for months.
Yeah.
Like, in a situation where Nova lost in the second round, you have a guy saying, okay, I think I have a chance in the NBA. He'll come back, but it's a headline.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Next question comes from Scott Rail 25 on the message boards. In the spirit of NFL draft season, can you guys do a two-round mock draft of only Temple players? You each get two picks, snake-style draft, with the youngest getting the first pick, and so on down the line.
I'm on record saying that I like this idea.
Are we doing this now, or are we doing this down the line?
I think we're doing this now.
All right.
It's only two rounds, two picks. We're starting. Dalton's older than Matt, so it's Matt, Dalton, Kyle, John.
John.
This is all-time Temple football players.
All-time Temple football players.
Remember, you only get two, so logic
would
say...
Some media kits over there.
So logic would say that you're going to want to draft an offensive and a defensive person. But who knows? Maybe you just go all offense, maybe you go all defense. We'll see where this goes. Mm-hmm. Or, because that's so big, do we want to limit this to the last, 10 years?
I mean, it's not like there's such a great history.
Yeah, but you got the Paul Palmers
of
the world.
Yeah, you got some people.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Well, I have the first pick.
Yeah.
Who's the,
well, we guess let's set the parameters first. Are we doing since Golden, or are we doing all-time Temple player?
I think we should do all-time.
Okay.
All right, with the first pick, I'll take Tyler Matakavich.
Mm. Remember, this is for college, right? This is not for the NFL.
Okay.
What are the stipulations?
I would say with the second pick in the Temple football AlScoop.com draft, I'd take Paul Palmer.
That's like the guy in front of you in your fantasy draft.
I want
Kenny
Stills. Can't let this guy still out there.
I want first Kenny round. Stills, and then the guy drafts in front of you.
I'm gonna buck the skill position thing. I'm gonna go John Renstra. Mm. I'm gonna shore up the offensive line.
All American. Had a short career with the Steelers, but that doesn't matter. Like, he got injured. He played 6 years, I thought.
Not bad. Yeah.
Maybe it's not great for the 6th, 8th overall pick or whatever.
Yeah.
But okay. I will say I got two here.
Picks.
I got the
yeah,
service
two
pick.
Picks.
Wait a minute.
That was supposed to be my pick. Yeah.
You leaked my pick.
I'm supposed to go last. All right, Kyle, let's redo this. Kyle gets the third pick.
What if I just took him?
Take him if you need to take him.
I'm going
to
go.
I'm like the drunk guy at the fantasy draft.
Is he available? He got drafted 7 rounds ago. I'm going Klecko. Joe. I'm going to go Joe Klecko. So he was a sleeper on my team. On this eight player draft.
Do we have to go? Can I pick two defensive players?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, but it's John,
right,
it's Serpentine. John gets it again.
John gets two.
You're last.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go, I'll go Renstra, and I'm going to go Henry Burris. Henry Burris was a fantastic, fantastic quarterback. I would have loved to have seen him with the receivers that they have here today. Henry was fantastic. Just retired from the Canadian Football League. Had a short stint.
He actually retired.
He
just won the Grey Cup 2 years
ago. I think
he's
retiring, right? Yeah. Won the Grey Cup. Had a couple years in the NFL, right?
Was
a backup with
the Bears.
Henry was fantastic. So he's the quarterback I'm grabbing. So I got my offensive lineman and my quarterback.
Okay, so I went with Joe Klecko, so I got the mean nose guard defensive tackle. I'm going to say after that, so you went all offense. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah. I would like to do this. I think we could do this like
once an actual
spring,
draft.
The actual draft, because Mike Mudrick and I did this. I was talking about this beforehand. Did a Temple basketball draft. Had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, we could do that. But yeah. This is a little glimpse. I'm gonna say this is gonna show you the old baseball adage is you build from the middle, right? You do catcher, pitcher, center field,
see the
second base,
on your
shortstop.
Face. You're looking at us as if like
you build from the middle. I'm also building from the middle. Next to Joe Klecko, Muhammad Wilkerson, Joe Klecko on the Kyle Gauss Fighting All Star.
That's fine. It just
blowing
it,
up the scene.
The way that you
blowing up John Reinstrup, just going this. Right past him. Henry Burris's face is in the ground as Mo Wilkerson, all 370 pounds of him now, wherever power big he is just stomping, smiling Hank or whatever they call him.
Easy,
Mo Wilkerson, Joe Klecko.
You built this up
Dalton,
as, as if you had unearthed some guy from like the 30s, Bop Warner, Pop Warner's nephew. Great pick. Nobody knows about him.
Bobby.
Yeah, and then you Twisted. Give us Mo Wilkerson.
I'm just it's the construction of a team. This is why you go 3-8 every year in our fantasy.
I got a guy that can throw the ball, and I got a guy that's protected.
To who, John? There's no wide receiver.
Who snaps the ball on your team?
I can flip Joe Klecko around. He can snap the ball and Mo Wilkerson's just throwing bows. Throwing bows. You're going to have Henry Burris, John Reinsdorf out there.
Mo Wilkerson was going to be my pick, which is that's a shame.
Everyone's stealing everyone's thunder.
I guess I'll go with Steve Kondrar.
Okay.
Very good. There's your next quarterback on the board you want to take.
Oh, you're using the metaphor. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say he's a linebacker. But okay.
So I have...
Oh, Steve
Kondrar.
Steve Kondrar. I thought you said Steve Joachim. I'm sorry. Sorry, Steve Kondrar. There you go.
So I got a linebacker and a running back.
And Mr. Irrelevant in the Temple draft. Matt, who are you choosing?
I'll go Kevin Ross.
Kevin Ross, good pick.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Like that pick.
Another defensive player, yeah, but I think I got a steal there.
So
yeah,
Matt and I go all defense. John goes all offense. Dalton's the only one with a balanced team.
Yeah, that kind of sums up our personalities, right?
this is still a preview. We should
actually do this.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun.
When spring ball ends, maybe we'll do it or something like that.
When we have the actual draft picks.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so
Matt goes up to the board. Kevin Ross! Oh, I wanted
we're ordering from a site, and they're like, oh, so you want like the 2017 version? No, I got custom names.
Please send this to you in a spreadsheet.
Please print all of these.
Next question comes from Temple J on the message board. Any further information on Josh Brown and Trey Lowe? Are they working out? Will they play over the summer? Will they be back with Temple next year?
Yeah, so Josh Brown's going to be ready for summer workouts. He'll be good to go. Trey Lowe, at this point, I've been told, is not ready for summer workouts. He's rehabbing, but he hasn't been able to practice with the team. So, I mean, we said this before, we hope for the best for him, wish him the best, but... hasn't been able to be a full practice participant yet. So his future's still kind of up in the air at this point.
But the Josh Brown thing kind of contributed. I mean, I think there was a lot of contributing factors to Isaiah Lewis leaving means Josh Brown coming back for that fifth year, assuming he gets a medical redshirt, which we all think he's going to get.
Yes, he'll be
is
back.
Fine.
Last question comes from JHG722 from the message boards. What position would you say is or should be the biggest priority in 2018?
He's referring to football, right?
Memories.
Why do you do this to me?
Little Barbara Streisand. Little Babs for the podcast.
Babs.
Buttery voice.
Beautiful.
Why are you the way you are? like, why did that come up now? Like, you queued that up 15 minutes ago.
I'm
going to
be honest with
you.
I thought I hit pause. And that stuck through the speakers. Was not expecting that. You know, Barbara Streisand's going to arrive when she arrives. And if she wants to visit
Philadelphia, arrives in like the South Park. Fashion. Mecha Streisand,
where
Robert Smith
from
The Cure
shoots her down. Yeah, that was a great episode. Two titans of industry. Anyway, sorry, Tom.
So what position would you say is or should be the biggest priority in 2018?
Talking football. I'm gonna start.
No,
this,
this was a basketball question.
This is basketball? Yeah. I'm going to talk football.
No, that's a shame.
basketball, 2018.
A big wing, a guy that can kind of... You'll pop out and be versatile, I'd say.
They have how many scholarships? We talk about this every year.
Two, I think. So I think they probably want to go like a versatile big and a guard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like your ideal fit would be probably like a Jake Forrester. I mean, if you could get him, I think that would be
like Bryce Golden.
Yeah,
like
one
Bryce
of those
Golden
two.
A lot.
Yeah, I think if you could get one of those two guys, like a versatile four, I think that would be
You get one of those two guys, then you add like a wing combo guard type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do this for football. Biggest needs for the class 2018.
This is pretty easy, I think. I think you need to add offensive linemen like you did with Rhule. Mm-hmm. In Rhule's first true recruiting class, he added a ton of defensive backs. I think you need to add offensive linemen.
Yeah, agreeing with that. And I'll also add, I think you brought in a lot of them over the last couple of class, but I'm just kind of viewing this talent-wise. I still think you need an influx of wide receivers after this because you're going to graduate Adonis. You're going to mm-hmm. graduate Keith Kirkwood. But you're also not expecting true freshmen to come in and really be like starting wide receivers. So you got to kind of almost recruit that 2018 class for the 2019 season when Ventel's gone and you're just completely like Isaiah Wright's a senior at that point.
Or, I mean, does
a Randall Jones or Freddie Johnson?
Well, I was going to say, or do you,
does Ventel leave after this?
Yes, season? That's what I was going to say. Does Ventel Bryant have such a good junior season?
One person I talked about this, and it was kind of just like a opposing conflict of this, but my initial thing was maybe Ventel has such a great year that he plays his way into being a second round pick wherever he just leaves. If you're Ventel Bryant, though, and you're playing with two other NFL caliber wide receivers, not to say that they're going to be, like you said, first round picks, but they could play in the NFL. Wouldn't you want to wait that one more year where you go from being the Deuce Staley of the Carrell Buckhalter or Brian Westbrook three-headed monster to the year where Brian Westbrook is the guy? Like, he would just be the wide receiver as a senior in 2018. He would probably put up some gaudy numbers in 2018.
With us to talk about it, Brian Westbrook. Brian, thanks for being on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Brian Westbrook on 97.5 says we all the time for the Eagles and for Villanova. Very nice guy. Doesn't do it for me on the radio.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
The we?
Yeah, when they're not like actually with the team.
Yeah, exactly. When he's referencing like the 2003 team, I get it. When he talks about like, well, when we were in the locker room. But they'll talk about like this team. He's like, man, we really need an influx of talent at wide receivers. Okay.
That's like saying just a regular North Carolina fan saying, man, we really love Luke May.
Yeah. What if like an LA baseball team went on a run this summer, got to the Little League World Series, when you talk about them?
Oh, I would absolutely say we.
Yeah, well,
that's just true. Yeah. If like the LYA made a run, which they never would, but if they somehow made a run to like the Little League World Series,
wasn't there a line?
I'd bust out some like my I was the Marlins one year. I was never the Braves, and that upset me.
You guys had pro teams?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But you would get the pro hat. You'd get the pro hat, and then it would say like LYA on the back. It would say like Hodgkin's Contractors or whatever. Like the back was still sponsored, but the hat was a pro team.
We didn't have that.
I was on the Pirates.
Yeah.
There you go. Looks like a young Andy Van Slyke. Anybody know who he is?
And we had the one game a year, like the first game of the year, LYA, but when I was there, would splurge for the announcer. So you would play on the one field that had like a PA announcer, like, Kyle, gosh. And that was the first game. You're like, this is great. And after that, it was just like, now you're going to the B field.
Field J,
you're going to like
Foster
field. Like these fields. Yeah, but that Foster field's still there. And they would go there and they'd be like, yeah, there's no booth. You're just there. It's just gritty. Just playing. It's a boy and a ball. Kyle Gow story.
Seam heads, all of them.
there was some sluggers on that team.
Yeah.
I also, when I cut a guy that came to my wedding, I stayed friends with him for years. One time towards the end of like a game, they were like, oh, who wants to catch? I was like, I'll catch. And I would get out there, and my buddy, they're like, who wants to pitch? He's like, I've never pitched. I'll pitch. And he couldn't get over the base out of the plate. He just didn't have like the arm strength. And my way, I thought I would like motivate him. So I took like catcher pitcher meetings all the time. So like every other pitch, I'd walk up there and be like, but you gotta throw it harder. Throw it. Be better at what you do. And be like, all right, go get him.
This is an actual game.
Yes, it was like the sixth inning. We're probably getting blown
every
out. Every other pitch, I'm like, you gotta throw it. Throw it straighter.
You're
throw
calling
it fast.
Timeouts.
Yeah. Like, let me just go talk to them.
Parents who just want to do
like
nothing else other than to go home and eat dinner.
And it's probably like a 16-year-old umpire. Like, come on, man. Come on, bro.
You get paid $5.25 an hour for this.
I'm like 9 at this time. Just out there. I'm like, you gotta throw it faster. Throw it hard. Dust him off a little bit.
Imagine a 9-year-old Kyle waddling out with catcher's equipment.
I also remember being like,
get to the mound.
I don't know if this was, I guess this might have been normal. Whenever I caught, they would always be like in between innings. They'd be like, all right, like at the end after the warm up, you're doing your pickoff throw at the end. And that would dread me. I'd dread it every time. Like people would be like warmed up, tossing it around. I'm like, oh God, it's going to go poor. They finally give it to me. I would just chuck it, like sail it in the center field. Like, yeah, my bad. Show everybody
like
here.
Sasser, like you had the problems getting the ball back to the mound?
Who?
Mackie Sasser from the Mets. He was one of the guys who had the yips where he couldn't throw the ball back.
Like
to the
Rube
pitcher.
From Major League 2?
Yes, correct.
When he has to think of Playboy?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But he just gets really into, like, women's lingerie catalogs?
Not to divert further off the path here before we end the show, was had a Facebook conversation with a bunch of friends from home talking about LYA baseball, Lionville Youth Association baseball. We're talking about junior high and high school basketball. I got in my own head, ninth grade tryouts, had a decent tryout, puked at the end of tryouts because I was not ninth grade John DeCarlo, knew nothing about physical fitness. And I ate a heaping bowl of Cheerios before the tryouts, so threw all that off. And then some friends and I were talking about LYA, went off in that direction. But the other thing I did to get my own head, next day I didn't think that I even made first cuts for basketball. I was so convinced. I was like, so bad. Yeah. And I screwed up the weave drill. I was in my own head, shot the ball well. You guys know the weave drill for basketball, right? Just take it, pass it, this guy, and just run behind you. And I was like, just messed it up. It was
and you had to call your mom because you left your clothes at home because you didn't think you made the second day.
Correct, yeah. And she brought like these like Villanova mid-thigh basketball shorts. Think of like a nerdy John Stockton.
The first day, you know, you went one-on-one against Aaron Harris, and you know, you just got lucky. Just pop three, good. Pop three, good. And you're like, wow, Aaron Harris, this future running back. Later
this is where Kyle teases me for retelling the story.
I'm pretty sure you've told this exact story on air like
no,
two and a half times.
No.
I would say like you probably told it fully once. The other time you started telling it, I cut you off saying you've already told this, and then this time is the 2.5.
You can't prove that.
I'm pretty sure it could because every
one
of these
scoops, our research
every one of these scoops in the it's in the web, it's in the cloud.
Yeah. Nothing's safe there anymore.
Nothing's safe there.
No.
Just ask
Evan
Watson.
Trouble. You're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble.
Me?
Yeah.
Why am I in trouble? What does it mean?
Search entry?
If everything's accessible? Nah, yeah. It's all about that incognito tab, son. I have to pretend anything that happens in the incognito tab is just out there. Matt's focused. Matt's getting scooped. Matt's Schefter-ing us right now. He's over on his phone, but charging in and got to stay active. We're over here talking about what makes us tick.
He's staying active.
We're still recording
phones.
Right now, really?
Yeah. That's going to do it for us this week. We appreciate you all listening and asking questions on the message board, and we will talk to you next week.